Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture that may be familiar to many of you. The rise of Asa, king of Judah. And I was meditating on this passage in my own personal devotions, and the Lord just kind of put into my heart a thought that I really had not considered rightly, and that is this matter of diligence and resting, doing and resting. And in my own heart and mind, it's just been in my mind throughout the years that we do what we can, and then after we've done all we do, then we rest in the Lord. And I was rebuked when I realized that that is not correct. In the doing, we are to be resting at the same time. And then the thought came to me about how a shield works. Now, I crawled under the stage this afternoon. I was going to find that shield that we used to have for plays, and all I found was 6 dust bunnies, and they weren't going to give it up. So I ended up crawling back out. I couldn't find it. But, you know, a shield has 2 sides. Now, when you hold up a shield, it's a defensive weapon, you have 2 sides to that shield. The enemy is on one side of it, and we're on the other. Now, as we hold that shield up, we're doing our due diligence to protect ourselves against the enemy. At the same time, we're resting in the fact that this shield is going to protect us from the enemy. Can you imagine having a shield that wasn't going to protect you? You know, there's all manners of types of shields. Now they have plexiglass shields. I remember years and years ago, there was an old Tarzan movie, and it showed the Zulus. And they had those little skinny shields. Anybody remember the old black and white movie of Tarzan? And they showed the Zulus. They're about 7'3". They're the skinniest looking things. And they had skinny spears and they had skinny shields. And I used to laugh every time I saw those shields. They were little bitty skinny shields. And how in the world? Here's this big old javelin that comes flying in, and they hide behind that little skinny shield to protect them. Now, I guess as thin as they were, that was more than enough protection. But somebody that was a little more rotund, it wouldn't have been much help, because they could have got them on both sides of it, as skinny as those shields were. When you get a shield, you want one that's big enough and wide enough, it's going to be useful, right? And on one side, you're deflecting away from you what might be coming in. Rocks, these days, you know, riot police have a shield, and they use that to defend themselves against rock-throwing teenagers or whoever else, Occupy Wall Street nuts, or whatever they're chunking and throwing. They hide behind that shield and protect themselves. But on the other side of that, you're resting in that shield that is going to protect you. It's going on at the same time. If you weren't resting, you'd be running. Now, you wouldn't be standing there taking it from whatever was coming. You'd be heading out the other way. I'm not staying around here. I'm gone. I'm out of here. But the picture is that you are doing due diligence. You're holding it up. You're defending yourself. And at the same time, you're resting in that shield. Now, this is the picture that we have in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Let's begin reading at verse 1. There's only 15 verses, so we'll read the entire chapter. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. What's the city of David? Bethlehem. All right. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he builded fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Now get that. He built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest and had no war. What are we told today? If there's no war, why do we need walls? And people tear down walls and they get rid of their swords and their guns and so forth like that, and then they get run over by the enemy. But Asa was wise. He built defense cities. Fence cities. He put them up in spite of the fact that they were living in times of rest. No battles. Verse 7. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah. Now, what is a target? That's a shield. Another name for a shield. They had shields and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All of these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray in this passage of Scripture that we might take away the simple truths that you have for us tonight, truths that are so needful in our lives as we walk the spiritual walk. And we pray, Father, that you would show us and teach us in the way, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to direct your thoughts to verse 11, because this was the key, or the harbinger, if you want to call that, or the master key of this passage. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God. Now get this phrase. For we continue to rest on thee. We have rested in the past, and we continue to this moment and into the future continue to rest on thee. He was doing his due diligence, and he was resting at the same time. It wasn't, Lord, we've done everything we know to do, and now we turn our attention to resting in thee. That's not the picture that's given to us here. Lord, while we were doing our due diligence, while we were building our defense cities, and while we were getting together our spears and our shields, being prepared in case an enemy came against us, at that same time, we were resting and trusting in thee. Now, folks, that is so important for us to get a hold of. We do not labor in the Christian life and carry out the doing of our Christian walk and then get to a certain place and then all of a sudden, all right, we've made it to this place. Now it's time to rest. That's wrong thinking. That's wrong-headed thinking. The point is this. While we are diligent in the doing of our task that God has given to us, we are resting all of the while. We are resting while we are also doing all diligence. There are two sides to the shield, and we do them both at the same time. I want you to see this in this passage, because these two opposite aspects of the Christian life that I want to share with you are things that are not opposed to each other. They're not, you complete one and you start the other, but they are going on simultaneously. They are synchronized, synthesized together as one work. Diligence and resting. Diligence and resting. This is where we get into trouble so many times. I've heard over the years people say, well, I'm just burned out serving the Lord. You know what they were doing? They had not been resting while they were doing their diligence. That's the picture. You and I need to learn to rest in Him while we're doing His work, doing it at the same time. Now, Asa was the great-grandson of what king? Does anybody know? He's third removed from Solomon. That was his great-grandfather. His grandfather, of course, was Rehoboam. We know about him. He was the one that in his foolishness, in listening to the young counselors that he surrounded himself, instead of listening to the wise men, he chose to follow the foolish counsel of the young men and ended up splitting the kingdom. He got a grand total of 2 tribes to rule over. The rest of them went to Jeroboam up in the north and followed after him, and he was stuck with Benjamin and Judah. That's all that he had left. And we know about how things went with his rulership. He was the son of Abijah. Now he comes king, and he was a good king. Boy, the Lord has a great deal to say. Asa was so intent on doing what's right that when he found out that his mother had made an idol and put it up in the high place and was worshiping there, that he removed his mother from the throne. She was queen. He had her removed from power. He said she's not worthy to rule over God's people because she has made an idol and she's worshiping this idol. That takes some character, does it not? Today, I'm afraid that family would come first. After all, you know, we got to stick together. Family comes first. Blood ties are what count. No, I want to tell you something. We learn from the Scripture over and over again that blood ties are important. We want to reach our family with the gospel, but you know what? When it comes down to doing what's right, we have to do what's right. And sometimes that means going against in-laws. And then you become outlaws. That's what happens so many times. And that's why a lot of people won't go against family. They're afraid that they won't talk to me anymore. We won't be able to have family reunions anymore if I take a stand for what's right. I want to tell you something. Try God. He'll take care of it for you. You just do what's right. He did what was right, and God blessed him in a remarkable way. Now, he ruled on the throne for 41 years. For 10 years, God gave him peace, preceding an attack by Zerah that we read about in verses 9 through 15 of our passage here. Now, Asa was assessed by God. Now, remember, when you read the books of 1 and 2 Kings, you're getting it from man's point of view. But when you read 1 and 2 Chronicles, you're reading it from a priest's view, from God's view. One from an earthly side, one from a heavenly side, so to speak. And what does God say about him? God says about him that he was an honorable man. He was a good king. He loved the Lord. He did what was right. It's interesting to note that Asa went against his own mother and did what was right. He went against many of his friends. He went against the culture of his day. And he removed the high places and the images. There's a whole list that's given to us here in this passage. He acted with all due diligence to correct things and get them back in line with the Scriptures. We are told that he took away the altars of the strange gods. He cut down the groves in verse 3. We learn in verse 4 that he commanded Judah to seek the Lord and to keep his commandments. We're told that he took away all of the cities of Judah, the high places and images in verse 5. We're told that he built fenced cities in Judah in verse 6. And then whenever he was faced with an enemy, in verse 10, the Bible says that he went out against Zerah. He was not only on the defensive, but he was also on the offensive when it came to standing up for what was right. Asa was a man that was committed to diligence for God. But we find out in verse 11 that the whole time, he was committed to his position, committed to the Word of God, committed to God and following His Word, that he was resting in the Lord. Oh, this is so important. You see, the backside of the shield behind which we hide is the resting side. It's the resting side. And the resting side does not mean that we're sitting down in a lawn chair. That's not what it means. It means that we're trusting. Let me give you some other synonyms here. Where we look at faith, I rely on, I trust, I believe, I confide, I rest. Those were all synonyms in the Bible representing the same thought here. Asa cried unto the Lord his God. It was personal. It's interesting in verse 11. Look there with me, please. And Asa cried unto the Lord, what's the next two words? His God. He cried unto the Lord, his God. It doesn't say he cried unto the Lord Jehovah or the Lord, the nation's God, but it says his God. How personal is God to you tonight? Can you talk to him? Are you able to converse with him? Or do you treat him as some distant deity? Sometimes when I hear folks pray, and I'm not thinking of anybody in this congregation, I hear folks pray all the time. They talk to God like he's way out in outer space somewhere, you know? And they treat him as some kind of deity that's so distant from us, like he's the deity of the deists. He kind of spun the world into existence and threw it out there like a top, and he just kind of stands back and watches it unwind. I want to tell you something, that's not our God. I want to tell you right now, he is just as active today in the affairs of government and men as he's always been. Though he is silent from heaven, it is not that he is inactive in heaven. The kings and the princes are still in his hand. And though he does not speak from heaven in audible voice, he is still busy in our hearts and lives. He is still busy in this ministry. He is still busy in the hearts and lives of children in this school. He is busy in the hearts and lives of our teachers. He is active in every person's life that knows him as his personal Savior. Our God is not distant. And even though he is silent in the sense that he does not speak from heaven, he is active, and we are to rest in him. I want to tell you something. There are too many manifestations of his power. We have seen it in hearts and lives. We have seen his power in physically to deliver people from sickness. We have seen his power manifested over the years in this ministry. Whenever there were difficult times, he reached in with his almighty hand and brought praise unto himself by taking impossible situations and turning them around to his glory. Do I hear an amen? I want to tell you something. There's nothing inactive about our heavenly God. And I want to tell you something, folks. He's coming again. And we say with James, lo, the judge is at the door. And you better be ready. I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I believe the judge is at the door. Have you ever seen a shadow under a door? Okay? Maybe as a kid when you were in your bedroom and the light was on in the hallway and all of a sudden you saw the shadow of 2 feet standing outside your door. As a kid, you sat up straight. Could be Dad standing at the door. You know, folks, I think if there was a greater appreciation for the nearness of the Lord's coming, there'd be a difference in Christians' lives. If you could see the shadow of his feet under the door, the Bible says that the blessed hope is a purifying hope. But I think the only thing we're worried about is if the tax collector's at the door. Or maybe we're worried about whether we're going to have enough to make it through the end of the month, or whether we're going to, the United States economy is ever going to turn around, and if the job situation is going to improve, and we get our minds locked in on the nasty now and now. But I'm here to tell you, the judge is at the door. Are you resting tonight? As you carry out your duties with all diligence on a daily basis, are you resting also behind the shield? You know, we get into political talks. I had a gentleman in my office this afternoon, and we were talking about everything under the sun. We talked about things of the Lord, and then we got on politics. You know what, folks? I'm not worried about November. I couldn't say that. I couldn't say that. But I had to get some things settled with the Lord. I'm concerned about America. I'm concerned. But you know what? Asa had a nation come up against him. And in verse 11, he cries out to him, Lord, it is nothing with Thee to help. Do you believe that tonight? It is nothing with Thee to help. Whether it be with many or with them that have no power. I want to tell you where Christians are today. When it comes to this world, it seems like we have no power. The media is not on our side. And it's certain that right now the civil government's not on our side. You go to the president's website, barackobama.com. They have a list of 40 things for lesbian and gays to be supportive of President Obama. 40 things, half of them are presidential executive orders that have been signed into effect, that have changed laws. And one of the things that's on there, and I forget what number it is, bragging about the fact that we told the Justice Department not to enforce the DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, that we consider it to be unconstitutional. This was a step to help lesbians and gays. Right there in black and white. 40 things to rejoice over. The gay community. You know what we have to do? We have no power with men, but we have power with God. And Asa mentions here these few words, "For we rest on Thee." We continue, even though the enemy is at the door, we continue to rest on Thee. He didn't know what the outcome would be. Whenever his grandfather was in power, there was a people that came up against him and whipped Rehoboam. For all he knew, the same thing might happen to him. But he said, "Lord, it's nothing with Thee. You have the power. You can deliver us if you choose to. But whatever you do, Lord, whatever you do, we will continue to rest on Thee." I like that phrase, rest on Thee. I assume every time I come up here that that chair right there is going to hold me up. Now, when we had the straight back pews up here on the front, I was scared to death. There's been a few, I'd go over there and I'd sit on that pew and it would start tilting forward because it wasn't very sure. And that back was just straight, so it kept your weight forward. I was waiting for me to get thrown off this stage. So that's why I took them out and I put these chairs up here. They don't move when you sit down in them. Now, you can feel when a chair is about to give out. We rented some white chairs from over in Pensacola, Ace Rental, back a few years ago. And we had it set up in the back here for one of our evening elegants. And one of the men that came to the evening sat down in that chair, and that chair took off with him. I mean, it just went squash, flat, went down the ground. Now, that's embarrassing. Anytime something gives out underneath you, it's embarrassing. And so we rushed over and we went and got one of our old trusty metal chairs. And we put the black cover on it and put it back underneath him. And he tested it before he sat back down. You know, whenever something fails you, you're a little leery after the fact, right? So he tested, "Is this the same kind of chair?" "No, sir, this is not the same kind of chair. This is a different chair. This is one made out of metal." And so we sat down and he was able to enjoy the rest of the evening. And we had to go and unravel that poor chair and take it back to the rental place and explain what happened to it. All right? Now, some chairs are not very sure. They start bending on the front side. We've got some card table chairs at home. And I just don't trust them. I slide way back in those chairs. Whenever we have to sit and we have company over, I'll sit in those chairs. And you sit down and that front edge starts bending down. And you start feeling, "Is this thing going to hold me up?" Now, I don't weigh very much. So if it's bending with me, I know that if somebody bigger than I am gets in this chair, it's going to be all over with. So we're a little cautious about that. Now, but whenever you go in and you just sit down in a chair, you're telling everybody, "I'm trusting in this chair to hold me up." Now, you didn't know you were telling people that, did you? And so far, we've had these chairs almost 3 years. So far, every time I've sat down in that chair, it's held me up. And I don't even think about it. When I walk over, I just plop down in that chair. Whenever my knee was bummed up, I was a little slow about getting into it, but I was trusting that chair to hold me up. I don't trust any rope swings anymore, though. I don't care if they put a metal rod through it. Someone said that there was a picture down there at the Dragonfly Gallery of a rope swing hanging from a tree. And they said, we're going to buy that for you, Todd, and that way you can put it up in your office. I said, I don't even want to see it. I don't trust rope swings anymore, all right? Especially ones made by Chris. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we rest, do we not? We rest, we depend. That's what we do when we look to God. We don't question His veracity and His ability. Asa here says, Lord, it is nothing with Thee to help. Do you have that opinion of God tonight? It is nothing for Thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we continue to rest on Thee. In your diligence, folks, and I'm talking to myself here, in our diligence, let us be resting at the same time. There's two sides to the shield. There's one that faces toward the enemy, and there's the other side that faces toward you. On one side, we put it up to deflect the fiery darts of the wicked. But we rest behind it knowing that the shield is going to protect us from what may happen. And who is the shield? The Bible says it's the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Faith is another synonym for resting. May God help us in our Christian walk to be resting in Him while we're carrying out our duties. At the same time, let us be resting in our great God, because it's nothing with Him to help us. May that be an encouragement to our souls.